Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you today?
Oh, it is Monday. It is a holiday.
Labor Day.
Didn't have to work today.
Yeah.
So I'm doing really good. I am doing really good. How are you, James?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. Did a little grilling earlier today. Got some burgers from Gordon's Meat Market with the bacon and the cheddar built into them.
That's what it's about, baby.
They really hit the spot.
Bacon and cheddar, you say?
Yeah,
and
man.
And you didn't invite me.
There's one left over.
Is it here?
No.
No. Well, there's the point.
Okay, I might be a bad friend for that one.
Nah, it's okay. That's okay. Next time. Next time you get them.
I'm so used to you not coming when I invite you.
Why? What do you mean?
Like what? Bonfires and stuff, man.
Well, that's just... Listen.
It's the logistics of living almost a half hour apart from each
other. Well, it's not even that. It's the it's the fact that before there was someone else who didn't always want to make that drive.
Yeah.
It's different now.
I see.
It's mostly different now. The drive is still the drive. It mostly just depends on the night and the day. Like, if it's a weeknight, I'm not doing it.
Charlotte's good with it now, is what you're saying.
Oh, dude, Charlotte would love to come.
All right, all right. So we'll change things.
Charlotte's the dog, in case you were wondering. If you hear any chewing in the background, that's her chewing on her bone.
She's being a good girl.
That she is.
So before we get into any crazy news going on here, we are going to obviously cover the unfortunate passing of Tunch Ilkin. For those of you who may not be familiar with Tunch played for the Steelers in the late 70s and all throughout the 80s, made it to two Pro Bowls, was a beloved player of the team, and then turned into a commentator. Did sideline commentating for the Steelers all up until last year, at which point he stepped away because he was battling ALS. Unfortunately came down with a really nasty bout of pneumonia, and that mixed horribly with his ALS and cost him his life. So unfortunately, we have to say goodbye to a great man. Tunch was 63 years old. And by all accounts of everyone that I've read articles from all week long, listened to on other podcasts, a tremendous human being. Always giving, always looking to help people out. Coaching all ages. He'd help out with elementary school kids, high school kids, college kids. People all over the NFL. Were known to have used his Tunch Punch, as they called it, which was his technique of initiating contact of an offensive lineman while in pass protection. So even though he was backpedaling, he was still the first one to make contact and really control the situation. So just a tremendous loss as a human being, and his stamp will forever be on football with his technique.
100%. He was also the first person ever to be born in Turkey, being born from Istanbul. To play in the NFL, which is a really cool fact that I think a lot of people maybe didn't even know. I didn't know that even until today when we were just looking that stuff kind of up and looking up some facts on him. But yes, terrible, terrible news and sad to see him go. 63 just doesn't...
It's too young.
It's young.
It's too young, man.
And which for me is weird to say because I'm still super young in the sense of not even 30. But like that's, you know, I'm almost halfway there. That's crazy to think of 63. So definitely... a man gone too soon, and for that we are very, very sad. But now we will go ahead and move on to the usual Steelers by the Lake news. Five-star review.
Five-star review. We told you guys. We tell you over and over.
Over and over.
You give us a five-star review, we will not only read it, we will give you a shout-out. Last week we mentioned Mr. Joshua Perry. And how he had said some nice things about us. He did go ahead and do that five-star review. Josh, you're absolutely the man. Here's his five-star review on Apple Podcasts. James and Cody are great guys talking about the best football franchise in the NFL, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I enjoy listening to these guys every week. Keep up the great job, guys.
And then a bunch of emojis.
Bunch of football emojis, yeah. Yeah, man.
We definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, and Josh really did us a solid this week posting an image of our podcast on iHeartRadio on his Facebook timeline, doing all kinds of stuff, and we really appreciate the support of each and every one of you. But this week, Josh gets another special shout-out for sure.
That he does. Moving on to, we always cover downloads and stuff like that, so last month, the highlights. I remember we talked about Florida and Texas before Well, going to countries first, U.S. and Canada, top two countries. Moving to the states, Pennsylvania number one, no surprise there, waiting for someone to sneak up and knock them off.
Yeah, man.
It'll be impressive, but this, I am waiting.
Pennsylvania's losing so far this month.
They are. Yeah. Right.
Second to Ohio right now this month, that which I have wild. A suspicion has something to do with family members of Josh. He's got a few of them, friends and family in Ohio.
In Ohio?
Yeah.
Fair enough. So Ohio was number two last month. Indiana number three. And then we talked about you, Florida and Texas. You guys tied for fifth. So want to see you guys moving back up there, challenging these other closer states, you know, Florida, Texas being in the southern part. Listen, people say that Steelers fans aren't all over the place.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. There's probably a Steelers bar in every single state in the United States.
There's one in Italy. I've got a t-shirt from the place.
Well, there you go.
They're everywhere.
There's probably
bro.
A Steelers bar everywhere.
I think there's one in Korea too, South Korea.
That doesn't surprise me. I want to say I would be shocked if there was one in North Korea. Let's be real.
Probably not in North Korea. Probably not.
We're gonna speak that into existence right now. That will be there next year.
Doubt it.
Doubt it. Doubt it for sure. But that is gonna do it for Steelers by the Lake news. Moving on to the whole Steelers news. Josh Dobbs, during all the cuts and everything else that we went through, Josh Dobbs was placed on the IR and will not be able to return to the team this year. However, the only way that he could return is if he's cut and then re-signed, which you doubt to see that happen unless we have two guys go down, then maybe they try to do that.
Yeah, Pittsburgh does like to keep three quarterbacks on the roster, but I would suspect that it would take a substantial injury to one of the three on the active roster for them to make a move to bring Dobbs back off of the injured reserve. But turf toe oftentimes can take a couple months for it to heal up anyway.
True.
So it could be that Josh really was going to need a good portion of the season to heal up, and this gets him a way of possibly being around for next season. When you look at the possibility of moving forward without Ben Roethlisberger next season, Mason being under contract, it'll be cheap to retain Dwayne Haskins as they can slap an original round tender on him and only pay him like $2.2 or $2.3 million.
Yeah.
Dobbs can be retained for probably league minimum, and then you got three guys to compete with a possible first-round rookie or something like that. You know, Pittsburgh, I do imagine if Ben does hang him up after this year, we'll make a move. Mm-hmm. Whether it be in free agency or in the draft, they'll make a move. They're showing more and more lately their willingness to be aggressive to fill out the roster.
Yeah, we've seen it multiple times, and we'll get to that again here shortly.
With the news of Josh Dobbs, they also announced the practice squad, which has changed since then. We're going to tell you what it is currently as of Labor Day when we're recording the podcast. So first off, Daniel Archibong, a defensive lineman. He looks like he used to play for the Bears. He's got a Bears jersey on, looks like.
Well, he has
like
a Bears jersey, but he is a rookie. Yeah. So I think his...
Probably tried out for the Bears, didn't make it.
Tried out for the Bears, took the picture, blah, blah, blah. But he's 6'6", 307.
Which is the prototype of what they look for on defensive end types.
Absolutely.
So good size, weight. The second guy you're familiar with, Cody.
Rico Bussi.
Yeah, your boy.
Rookie from Hawaii. We've talked about him enough. We don't need to go too far into that.
Trey Edmonds is your next guy on the roster. He's been hanging out on that practice squad for three or four seasons
now. That he
now.
Has. And if you get confused, remember Terrell is the safety.
Yes, Trey is
Trey
the running back.
Is the running back. The announcers got that wrong one time, and it was hilarious.
Yeah. Should be a little easier for him to get right this year, as Trey is not on the active roster. But don't be surprised if injuries happen and he gets called up, as he is a quality contributor on special teams and has had some snaps as fullback in addition to running back.
Yep.
Next is cornerback Mark Gilbert, who
another
flashed
rookie.
A little bit.
Yeah. Another rookie.
Flashed a little in the preseason, 6'1", 175. Showed some abilities with tracking the ball and breaking it up. Next, Cody?
Chaz Green, offensive tackle, 6'5", 318. Big guy from Florida. Again, this is the guy that if you see an injury to the offensive line, I would expect him to be called up first, having the most experience than another guy, maybe lower on the list here. But then the next guy, Carl Joseph.
Woo!
Someone we went out and got. He was a previous first-round pick, correct, if I'm not?
Yes, absolutely yes. He was. Carl Joseph most recently trying out for the Raiders. The Steelers actually brought him in during the offseason this offseason to attempt to sign him to a contract. He chose to go to the Raiders, didn't make it there. We signed him to the practice squad.
Surprise, you're still with us.
And there are rumors circulating, although it is not official currently, there are rumors circulating that he will be promoted to the 53-man roster. At this stage, we do not know who will be removed from it, although you would suspect it to be someone in the safety room. My suspicion would probably... I would say probably more likely Killebrew than Norwood. I think they really like Norwood. So I would be surprised if Norwood's the one that gets the axe on that, or maybe the corner from the Jets. The nickel corner. Yep. Yeah. Arthur Mollett. I wouldn't be surprised if he was odd man out and they just kept an extra safety, especially with other things that have developed that we'll be talking about very soon here.
Yep.
Next guy on your list, John LeGlue, listed as an offensive tackle, also played center this preseason for Pittsburgh. So he's played all over the offensive line. He was on the practice squad last year as well.
Yep.
So John sticks around for another year on the practice squad, followed by Malcolm Pridgen, who was a late add to the preseason roster, a backup guard. Next, Cody, familiar face at the tight end position.
Absolutely. Kevin Rader is there, 6'4", 250. We've talked about him a lot. We got to see him a decent amount in the preseason this year. He is, in my opinion, the next guy I'd want up at tight end if we happen to have an injury. Jalen Samuels also on the practice squad. We know all about Jalen Samuels.
And
how
Patriots.
We are not a fan of him, other than when he plays the Patriots.
He had one good preseason game this year, too.
Yeah.
One.
Whatever.
One. There were four
games.
Four games. He had one good one.
The next guy is very interesting. Steven Sims.
Yeah, a wide receiver out of Kansas. This is his third year in the league at this point. And a very quick jitterbug kind of guy with return capability. Steelers Depot actually mentioned they believe him to be a possible backup for Ray McCloud in the kick return game. So if Ray were to go down during the season for some reason, look for Steven Sims to be possibly brought up.
Absolutely. Donovan Steiner, the safety rookie from Florida. Again, another rookie on the practice squad. Love to see that because these guys still have the, like, let me clarify. The practice squad is still at practice. The practice squad is still learning from guys on the team currently. I think too many times people overlook these names on the practice squad. Donovan Steiner is someone that I actually believe could come up in the league here in the next few years and maybe make an impact. If you lose Terrell Edmonds, if some of the other guys you have on the team don't pan out, you don't draft anybody else, Donovan Steiner could come in and make some splash plays.
Absolutely. He actually showed some promise in the preseason and had an interception where he made a real nice play on it, mm-hmm. And was the next man up in the safety rotation. When we watched that fourth preseason game, he actually was the starting safety in the nickel formation.
Yep.
They moved Trey Norwood from free safety to nickel and started him at free safety. So a guy with good size and athleticism and some ability to track the ball, you like to see that.
Next guy, Derek Tuska, outside linebacker from North Dakota State. Only been in the league for 2 years, but previously played for the Denver Broncos. He's 6'5", 246. He's basically more than likely next man up outside linebacker. If you happen to have an injury, he's going to be pulled up to the active roster easily. And the next guy, someone that James wanted to make the – potentially wanted to make the 53-man roster.
I felt he was the next man up at the wide receiver position, Cody White. Cody's got good size. He's only been around for 1 year previous to this in the NFL, but a 6'3", 215-pound wide receiver with good blocking ability and good reliability. Seemed to be able to play all the wide receiver positions, X, Y, and Z. So that kind of versatility is important if you were to get thin on the wide receiver lines, then you would expect him to be called up for sure. So after all the initial cuts happened, after the practice squad players were announced, we then heard that Zach Banner, Stephon Tuitt, and Anthony McFarland Jr. all went to the injured reserve, which sucks.
Big time sucks.
But with the new rules, they can actually come back off of it after 3 weeks now. So that's a refreshing thing to know. This does not necessarily mean any of these guys are out for the season or even 8 weeks. You could actually see all of them come right back off the injured reserve after 3 weeks. But probably more notable than that is the guys that came back up from the practice squad, which were Rashad Coward, the guard, BJ Finney, the guard, and Arthur Mollett, the corner. All then were signed to the 53-man roster.
Yep. So exciting to see those guys come back. We needed the depth at offensive line. We needed the consistency there, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, there was no backup guards.
There wasn't. Yeah, so you kind of knew something was going to happen.
We kind of figured, honestly, on the last episode I was listening back, and we mentioned that we wouldn't be surprised if one of those guys, more likely Finney, was brought back. It ended up being both of them. Yeah. So, hey, there you go. We're not too far off on some of our thought process.
No, not at all.
That's for sure. We also said we expected there to be something at the corner position because of there only being four of them.
Yep.
And there it is with Arthur Mollett being brought back literally like a day later.
Yeah. With that being said, Quincy Roche was picked up in the process of dropping him down to the practice squad by the Giants. And then also Anthony Brooks Jr., who James and I, and I'm sure many of you, were very, very excited about to see him actually play this season, starting nickel, was picked up and signed by the Rams. So that was really sad to see. And then again, we talked about the cornerback position seeming light, and then they signed, or they obviously brought back Mollett. But they also traded a future fifth-round pick for a corner who's recently played for the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, Akello Witherspoon. He's played in the league 4 years already, and he's a height, weight, speed kind of guy, you know. Hasn't really made a huge splash in the NFL thus far, but when he weighed in at the combine, he was 6'2.5", 198 pounds. He ran his 40-yard dash in 4.45, and had a 40-inch vertical leap. So extremely athletic for such a big guy. Look for him to be added to the outside corner room. I don't know if he's got any experience in the nickel, but I would assume with that kind of size, he's probably not the quick twitch kind of guy you're looking for in the nickel. So we'll see where he lines up. I also would expect him to probably be a starting gunner week one.
Yeah,
that kind of size, speed, you'd be crazy not to put him on one side, Lane on the other. And let's be real, Justin Lane, if there's any area he has excelled as a Pittsburgh Steeler, it's as a gunner. So I think this probably puts Arthur Mollett on the back end of the roster and Akello Witherspoon probably jumping up. And then it's at least a guy with some NFL experience in case you get in a situation where one of those top three corners goes down. You can slide him up and at least you know you've got an athletic guy with experience who's not scared of the game.
Yeah, so obviously we traded a draft pick for a player.
Future fifth rounder, 2023.
Yeah, so we traded a draft pick for a player. That means we have one more player than we are supposed to have.
Hogwash.
With that being said, James's favorite player ever is no longer on the team currently.
Listen, they're going to regret this.
They are.
You don't cut a guy like Henry Mondo and not have there be consequences.
What are those consequences going to be, James?
Well, who the heck's going to run down and kick coverage now? Carlos Davis?
Apparently. Who the heck's going to be a fullback on the goal line? Not Derek Watt.
Yeah, apparently Derek Watt. So realistically, being that Pittsburgh currently only has 14 guys on their practice squad, I do expect Henry Mondo to end up on the practice squad, assuming he clears waivers. Although we have waived two players thus far in the process, and they have been claimed by other teams. So that is not a guarantee, especially since he did show some on special teams last season. So there's a possibility other teams could have seen what he did on special teams and be interested in that higher-end athleticism for a defensive lineman.
As well.
Yeah.
Really going to be sad if we see him go.
If he gets signed by somebody else, I'm going to be pissed.
James was ready to buy the Mondo jersey.
Listen, oh, man.
The big old 99.
Taking the Kiesel off the back of it and putting Mondo on.
He was ready. Speaking of 99, speaking of jersey numbers, we had a couple players change their numbers recently. Four, to be exact.
Some were smart moves. Some were just, I don't know.
It's going to end their career.
Yeah,
they're done.
It's game ending.
Joe Schobert.
It took 93 as a middle linebacker. That's not bad.
It's not horrible.
I like the 50s.
I like the 50s.
Yeah, I like 93 for an outside linebacker or a defensive end. But at least it's in the 90s. You know, 90s and 50s, those are the sweet spots to me.
What would you have done if you took 99?
If you took 99?
Yeah. You could have quit life.
Yeah. Listen, I would have started the hate mail immediately.
You would have. Witherspoon took 25.
Akello Witherspoon, 25. That's not bad, man. A tall corner like Richard Sherman. He's 25.
Well, yeah. I just every time I see 25 in the Steelers, I just think of frickin' Artie Burns. No, I think I've already burned. At cornerback, I think I've already burned.
Yeah, Ryan Clark was the man at 25.
Ryan Clark though. Was the man, but at cornerback, 25 was not the man.
No, yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah, hopefully this is a better stretch with Witherspoon than it was with Artie Burns. That's
the next two numbers we're not big fans of.
Jahmyr Jones took jersey number 40 for an outside linebacker.
Okay, Mike Allstott.
I know there weren't a lot of options, but 91 was available, I'm telling you. Unless they're holding it back because Kevin Green passed away recently and they just are trying to be respectful of that. Frickin' take 91, brother. That's true. So much better of a number. But not as bad of a move as Buddy Johnson took.
45.
Ouch.
Rosie Nix.
Chris Fuamatumafala.
Yeah, fullback.
Yeah.
That's a point.
That's, yeah, fullback tight end number. That is not a great middle linebacker number.
Not at
all.
He
should have gone single digit.
He could have.
That would have been awesome.
He should have just gone five.
They're like two.
I wouldn't like two at middle linebacker.
Yeah?
No. Five matches like the 50 theme.
Yeah.
At least. Who?
Isn't Presley five? Didn't Harvin take five?
I thought he was... Wasn't he four?
I don't remember.
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Now it's going to drive me nuts. I'm gonna
That's
look
okay.
It up
James, is gonna, James is going to look. We're going to continue to talk.
Oh, yeah.
But again, the captain, the next thing we're going to go over, captains were announced. So your offensive captain.
Presley took six.
Six. I knew that. Offensive captain is Ben Roethlisberger, obviously. Defensive captain is Cam Hayward. No surprise there.
Could have taken one. One would have been a killer middle.
One would have been a killer. That's fine.
All right. Sorry,
and then special teams captain was Derek Watt.
Dang right. You know why they did that?
To try and get his brother to stay.
That's exactly it, brother. That was a political move. You're not going to give it to Boswell. You're not going to give it to the rookie or the first-year long snapper. Give it to Derek Watt. That's why you signed him, not for his fullback capabilities, but his special teams capabilities.
You know who we wanted to see there?
Yeah.
Henry Mondo.
Yeah, and now he's not even on the team. Tragic mistake.
Tragic mistake.
I bet they were going to have four of them.
They probably
were. There's going to be four captains, and then they're like, oh, yeah, here.
Yeah, whatever. But also, in other recent news, the Steelers did release their first official depth chart, which we'll go over real quick here. Has some interesting things on it. And this is just because, obviously, week one is literally right around the corner this weekend.
Yeah, a few days here.
So, quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, no surprise there. What? Mason Rudolph at the number two and Dwayne Haskins number three.
No surprises.
No surprise. Running back, Najee Harris, Benny Snell, Kalen Ballage. I love it. I think we'll see Ballage more than we realize. I think Ballage on short distance, if Harris needs a little bit of a break, I think they'll go Ballage over Benny Snell.
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets usage in the kick return game, too. They have Benny Snell listed as the number two kick return guy, but I feel like athletically, Kalen Ballage would probably do a better job if he had to actually feel it.
True.
So I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Fullback, shocker.
Yeah, Derek Watt. How weird.
Wow.
Yeah. Wide receivers, three starters listed. With Juju, Deontay, and Chase Claypool all in different positions. With Ray-Ray McCloud listed behind Juju and James Washington listed behind Deontay Johnson. So no real shockers there. That's kind of what we knew already. The only thing that would have been a surprise is if they only listed two starters. And then when it would have been, who do they list higher, Chase or Deontay? Because I would assume that Juju would be listed as one of the two starters.
Yeah. Offensive line.
Left to right.
I'm just going
to
go the whole way down.
Yeah.
And then look at backup. So you got Dan Moore at left tackle,
mm-hmm.
Kevin Dotson left guard, center Kendrick Green, right guard Trey Turner, and right tackle Chukwuma Okorafor. Now you have Joe Haig backing up both tackle positions.
Yes.
J.C. Hasenhauer backing up in the middle, and then Rashad Coward left guard backup, and B.J. Finney right guard backup.
Going to be interesting, man. So this means we've got... new starters all over the line, people at different positions. A core four didn't really play right tackle at all preseason.
Nope.
But sliding back due to the Zach Banner injury or aggravation or whatever's going on with him, but him moving to the practice or to the injured reserve really left us no choice. Dan Moore Jr. looked very good in the first two games at left tackle.
Yep.
Not as comfortable in the fourth game at right, so it makes sense to start him at left tackle. Chooks on the right-hand side. If Chooks struggles, I would not be surprised if they put Joe Haig in there because Joe Haig is a pretty dominant run blocker. Not as good of a pass blocker as Chooks, but if you have a tough time running the ball because of Chooks, maybe you do Joe Haig for a couple series and run behind him a little bit.
Maybe you do. Tight end position. Very interesting.
Dual starters.
There's not two different positions listed. Like wide receiver has three starters, three different positions. Tight end has one position with two guys listed there.
Yeah.
I think that says a lot.
Yep. So Eric Ebron and Pat Freiermuth are co-starters at the tight end position, which I think tells you a lot about what they think of Pat Freiermuth, but also just that there's going to be a short leash with Ebron this year if he gets into dropping the ball too often like he has struggled with previous years.
Well, even this preseason.
Yeah, even in the preseason, honestly. If it plagues him, I don't think they'll waste too much time. They'll just go to Freiermuth as the featured tight end. And then slide Eric back down to the number two, really, and then go forward with that. Just knowing that Freiermuth has such steady hands and probably already is a better blocker than what Ebron is, too. So all around, you're pretty much looking at a better player already.
I don't think it matters how good Ebron plays this year. I think Pat Freiermuth will be the starter by halfway through the season. That is me personally believing that,
yeah.
Which is why I drafted him in my fantasy draft.
It's probably a smart move unless you took him like first two rounds.
No. Definitely did not. defensively, we'll start on the line. Cam Hayward listed as the starting D tackle with Isaiah Loudermilk backing him up. And then Chris Wormley, the defensive end, with Carlos Davis backing him up. And then the nose tackle, Tyson Alualu with Isaiah Buggs backing him up.
Yeah, which no real surprises there. Does show you a little bit as far as their intent with Isaiah Buggs as the backup nose tackle. I think that's a noteworthy thing there. Isaiah Loudermilk in the same position as Hayward. Well, I mean, they kind of look similar, so they maybe do. That yeah. has something to do with maybe. It. But I like the hustle and the high-end athleticism that we saw out of Loudermilk in the preseason. I felt like he really separated himself versus the offensive lineman that he went against. And that's what it's all about. You're a fifth-round pick. You're going against mostly second- and third-string offensive linemen. If you ever expect to be a starter in the league, then you better outshine those backup offensive linemen when given the opportunity. And if you play against some starters, if you hold up well against them too, well, then that's fantastic. But I think there's some actual serious promise with Isaiah Loudermilk, and they recognize that for sure. Also, Carlos Davis did get some playing time on special teams in the preseason, so on kick coverage and punt coverage. Looked to me like they were already making a plan early on to see if he could fill in that Mondo role just in case they did not keep Mondo, which is what they ended up doing, which sucks. But at least we know Davis has the athleticism to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Linebackers.
Outside linebackers are going to be TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith. No super surprise there as far as our starters. Melvin Ingram, the number one backup on both sides, and then Jameer Jones, the number two backup on both sides.
The one thing I will say about that is obviously TJ Watt is TJ Watt.
Yes.
Alex Smith is, you know, coming up, learning, becoming his own person and everything player. But this is the first time I think that I would be comfortable with both of our backups playing. Like, I realize starters are different than what Jameer Jones went against in preseason, but Jameer Jones is the first outside linebacker that I've seen in a long time that's a backup that showed hunger, that showed aggression, that showed the passion of putting forth the effort every single down to make a play. I am loving that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there was a lot of promise with Jameer Jones in the preseason and worked his way up to even starting in that final preseason game, you know. Really shined on special teams, too, which is something Coach Danny Smith really is looking for, obviously.
Yeah.
So that's an important part of the game is if you're going to be a backup outside linebacker, you typically have to play special teams, which Melvin Ingram, I don't know how much they're going to ask him to do that. So it's very important that Jameer Jones was good at it.
Listen, you talk about the special teams coach.
Yes.
I actually also met a guy this week.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Todd Jay. Todd Jay, just met him. Sorry to butt in on the talk about depth chart real quick. But I was just walking around campus, the campus that I live next to here in town, and was walking my dog. Didn't let her say hi to many dogs throughout the walk. Just didn't want to deal with it. Was trying to get her out and used to seeing people again. And just going for a walk. And finally, we were just about to get in the car, and I said, you know what? There's a dog coming. I'll let her say hi. I walked over, met this guy. Todd Jay is an alumni of the same college that I went to, and actually is on like a texting friend base, like is good friends with the special teams coach. So that was really cool Just to kind of see that and realize just the how small the world is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy. Man. So Danny Smith did go to Edinburgh University out here. So pretty neat that there's a local tie to one of the current coaches on the staff. Middle linebackers, Devin Bush and Joe Schobert listed as the starters, which is absolutely no surprise. Marcus Allen and Robert Spillane listed as the immediate backups, also no surprise. And then Ulysses Gilbert III and Buddy Johnson listed as the third stringers at both positions, which I think when you really look at it now, with the loss of Mondo, with having Melvin Ingram as one of the outside linebackers, you needed extra middle linebackers for special teams.
100%.
Because typically both of your backup outside linebackers play kick coverage, punt coverage units, all that sort of thing. You're probably not going to ask Ingram to do that. Now you don't have a defensive end that's got experience doing that. So you're going to need to use some more of those middle linebacker bodies. So probably I would guess only one of them doesn't dress on Sundays. And it might be a battle each week between Gilbert and Buddy Johnson as to who gets the jersey.
Yeah. Yeah, and excuse me, I have to correct myself. The guy that I met works for Edinburgh, did not graduate from Edinburgh.
Gotcha.
But still really cool. So yeah, again, and here's the thing. Marcus Allen on kick coverage, that's like a dual threat. He's got the speed of a safety with a little bit more build of a linebacker. I'll take that all day on special teams.
Yeah, yeah, and then he's the personal protector on your punt unit as well. So an important role there. Cornerback position.
Yeah, so you have left and right cornerback. We'll just call them, you know, both outsides. But Joe Hayden, Cameron Sutton are your starters. Justin Lane and Witherspoon backing up Joe Hayden. And then James Pierre and Arthur Mollett backing up Cameron Sutton. Now, don't be surprised if people go down. That's not saying that those guys will specifically only replace the guys ahead of them. But that's just how it's laid out here on the on their official depth chart. They do not have the nickel position labeled. However, we would assume that we'd probably see, what, James Pierre play the nickel?
James will be the outside.
When Cameron Sutton will play nickel.
The nickel. Yeah. Yeah. That's how they did it in the third preseason game, which was the dry rehearsal. So that's what you expect to see. Although Arthur Mollett didn't get a chance to play in that game due to an injury, and he's played nickel. And then we'll see where Akello Witherspoon falls into the pecking order as well. I would expect him to get some burn as a gunner on special teams. Guy with that size and speed ought to be a really good gunner. Him opposite Justin Lane there should really be able to limit punt returns on opposing teams.
Yeah,
so
which would be huge.
Yeah, that would be
really
nice.
You want to talk about, you know, I think special teams sometimes can play a huge advantage at games, and you talk about the fight for field position. We just got a crazy good punter in the draft, and then you get these new gunners coming in and these better gunners, and it could change the way our defense gets to play ball. Like, we could be backing people up on their own goal line once or twice a game, forcing some turnovers or safeties. It changes the outlook of a ball game real quick.
Yeah, and that really makes a big difference when you're playing a team like Kansas City. If you get to the playoffs and there's Hill lining up back there for a punt return in a clutch situation, if you've got two elite gunners, that makes a big difference, man. He's got no choice but to fair catch it, and it takes him right out of the game. It's a non-factor, which is what you're looking for, is guys that can wipe other guys out. So that's important. Safeties, no surprise. Terrell Edmonds and Minkah Fitzpatrick will be your starters, with Miles Killebrew and Trey Norwood backing them up. Again, we'll see where this plays into with Carl Joseph. We're expecting him to be promoted to the 53-man roster within the next couple of days. He had to clear COVID protocol first.
Yep.
And then your specialists.
Kicker, Chris Boswell, no surprise. Holder, Presley Harvin III. Punter, Presley Harvin III as well. Long snapper, Christian Kuntz. And then your punt return and kick return vary slightly. Punt return has Ray-Ray McLeod, Deontay Johnson, James Pierre. And then kick return has Ray-Ray McLeod, Benny Snell Jr., James Pierre.
And I think that's just because Benny Snell would then be the up back, who would not primarily be the man returning the ball. He'd be a blocker more than the return man.
Yeah.
You don't want 180-pound
Deontay Johnson.
No, you don't want him in that role. That's not a good role
for him. Not a good role for him at all.
So we're going to move forward here and start talking about this upcoming week's opponent. We get to do that now. Yeah. There's an opponent coming.
There is, and it's a regular season opponent.
And it's a good one, too, with the Buffalo Bills. We're going to Buffalo to play against the Buffalo Bills, as most of you know at this point in time. Their quarterback, Josh Allen, really broke out last year, had an excellent year. Quite the dual threat. You don't typically see the dual threat in a big white quarterback, but there you go. Very athletic, big white quarterback with a big arm, accurate, dangerous running the ball.
I really wish you'd stop talking about young Ben.
Ben wishes he was as athletic when he was young as Josh Allen is now. Yep,
for sure.
It almost reminds me more athletically wise of a Tim Tebow, except a lot taller.
Yeah.
Just that big, and strong, and bound. Yeah, way better arm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying athletically Fair wise enough. With his ability to scramble and run. Just that kind of danger at the quarterback position. Wide receivers, there are three listed starters. Stephon Diggs, who is absolutely dangerous.
Yep, Emmanuel Sanders, we know very well.
Yep, but on the backside of his career, realistically, for sure. He's not the danger that he was when he was younger. Cole Beasley in the slot, though, is very dangerous.
Very dangerous, and I think by then, if he hasn't already, we'll clear COVID protocols and everything, because I know that at one point he was dealing with that and everything else. The offensive line isn't anything too crazy. Deion Dawkins is wonderful. Yeah, phenomenal left tackle. John Feliciano. Mitch Morse, Cody Ford, and Darrell Williams. Again, the bigger name here is Dawkins to me. I think getting pressure on that left side will be hard for whoever's going to be over there.
Yeah.
But we can get to the quarterback. That'd be great. Tight end, they got Dawson Knox and Tommy Sweeney.
No real groundbreakers there at tight end.
No,
you know,
but they play well. They play well in the system that's there, and they can perform very well, mostly because of what Josh Allen does and the formation and schemes they do to get him open.
Running backs, they do get some really good production out of these guys. Devin Singletary and Zach Moss, kind of a split offense. They kind of share the load there between the two of them. And then their fullback, Reggie Gillum, I'm not going to lie, I've never heard of before.
No,
you don't. I don't even know if he was on that team last year.
Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't really matter, yeah.
Defensive line, big name there, Ed Oliver. That's like the only, like, we can talk about the other guys, but Ed Oliver is definitely the guy that I'm most scared of.
Yeah, and Star Latulele was a really high prospect as well. But their ends with Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison are guys that can push the pocket. They are guys that can get after the quarterback. So it's important that our offensive tackles hold up this week. But I'm glad that it's not going to be the Carolina Panthers, because I don't want them to have to go against Brian Burns and that crew again in the first week. I think our interior offensive line is a little more stout than our exterior at this point. And I'm glad that their first matchup is not super killers, you know?
Fair enough.
The linebackers, they play a 4-3, so these are all kind of off-ball linebackers. At the middle linebacker position, Tremaine Edmonds, the brother
of Trey and Terrell.
Really tall, athletic dude, but really hasn't massive. Broken in.
No,
he's not broken through as the elite middle linebacker that most expected him to be. The weak side linebacker, Matt Milano, known for his abilities in pass coverage.
Yep.
And not to be overshown, backup middle linebacker, Tyler Matakevich for the Buffalo
he's
Bills.
He's the third-string backup. Get out.
Yes, but he's a star on special teams. Oh, I know. He makes lots of tackles on teams.
I know.
So I'm not overlooking him because the man makes plays on special teams.
That's fine. Cornerbacks, you got Tre'Davious White. Everyone knows him.
He's very, very good.
Very good. He picked us off last year at home, was kind of the game sealer.
You know, he went in the second round the year we took Artie Burns.
Yeah, I'm really mad about it.
Yeah,
I don't
want
to talk about it.
Me too. I wanted Trey White.
Levi Wallace is also there, and then Teron Johnson there is their nickel corner.
And realistically, it's a really large drop off
after Tre'Davious.
From Trey White down to Levi Wallace and Teron Johnson. So you're not really scared of those second and third corners, and it really ought to play well for whoever doesn't draw that matchup.
Yeah.
If Trey White is sticking to one receiver, that receiver probably is not going to get a lot of catches. If he just goes with whoever's on his side, then look for them to throw away from Trey White pretty much all day long.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I don't expect Ben to shy away.
No, but he's...
I don't think he's going to actively seek it out, but I don't expect Ben to shy away from a player because of another player being on him. That's not Ben's style.
No, but he's also known for liking to throw to people that are college open, not pro open.
Fair enough.
You're going to be college open against the other guys, not
Fair
against
enough.
Trey White.
Safeties
are good.
Safeties are very good.
Yeah, Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, very good quality safeties for sure. They probably will lock down the deep ball. I know Ben is going to test them a few times here and there. But with safeties like that, you don't necessarily expect that deep ball to be real open.
Yeah. So James and I are very excited for football, regular season football, let me clarify, to be back next week. We look forward to coming back next Monday and being able to talk about the game and how it went. Last thing, real quick, just a tweet just went out by Ian Rappaport. And it talked about how certain players are working out for teams. Le'Veon Bell was working out today for the Baltimore Ravens.
I saw that.
So that's very intriguing. With the loss of J.K. Dobbins, you kind of expect Gus Edwards to take the load. But if they can get Le'Veon Bell in there and he takes a decent pay cut, I don't, which at this point, why wouldn't you? You're jobless.
He's not going to get a job for a large amount of money, I don't think. I don't think anyone's going to offer him a ton off of his play from the last 3-4 years.
Well, off of his play and his attitude, neither one is very great. So again, we're super excited. Be sure to look forward to us live tweeting the game or maybe doing a live during halftime or whatever we decide to do this upcoming weekend. If we get together, if we don't, we're still super excited to watch Steelers football on TV regular season. Here we go again. 2021 season officially starts Thursday, technically.
And just a friendly reminder, if you feel so moved to do a 5-star review for us, just like Josh did this last week, we will absolutely give you a shout out. It helps more than you know. Gets our name out there even more. Which really brings in some more listeners and can in turn possibly even bring in some revenue for us to do some upgrades for you guys.
Yeah.
Maybe even some new intro music we might possibly be trying to work on.
He's giving away the secrets. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Again, thank you all for listening. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok @Steelers by the Lake. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.